Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everyone, this is Jessica Nevins, and this is the Divine It Girl Radio Show, and I am joined by my lovely co-host, Therese Tucker. Hi, Therese.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. We are so excited because we are taking a break from our Invoking the Muse series, because we have a very special guest for you today. His name is Jake Ryder. Hi, Jake.
Hi, Jess. How are you doing? Hi, Therese.
Good. How are you?
Hey.
Oh, it's a wonderful day here.
Yeah, is it? And you know, I'm going to tell the listeners really quick, give them a little background on you, because Jake is so amazing. You are just going to love everything that we hit on in this show. Jake Ryder is an intuitive life leader, a psychic medium, an iLife leader, rising stars coach that is living proof of connection, authenticity, integrity, love, and light. Jake is an author, speaker, TV host, psychic investigator, plus represented Australia in the TV show Battle of the Psychics in Ukraine, and just recently had a near-death experience. His business mind combined with channeled connection makes Jake Ryder a living dichotomy. And if you want to contact Jake after the show, we have links to his website in the description of this episode. And then, you know, we're just going to get into some talks here and see if, you know, we have some room at the end of the show to take some calls. We'll, you know, we'll let it go with the flow here. And once again, Jake, welcome. We are so excited to have you here.
Hey, look, it's really wonderful to be here. It's, you know, that intro you just read, I went, oh, yeah, I did all that, didn't I? I sort of forget sometimes how much I actually have done and all the experiences I've had, because, yeah, I've been there and done a lot in my time.
Yeah, well, go ahead. I keep picturing us, Jess, just so you know, like I keep picturing us moving to a space where we've got a table in front of us and the mic's, you know, hanging down, and we're looking at each other so we can get the physical cues off of each other, who's like ready to go. So I keep trying
that'd be so much easier. Oh my God.
I know. Well, so I keep trying to invoke it.
That's where we use Hangouts or webinars, and we can actually do that. So, yeah, the technology's there.
Yeah, that's true. See, Jake.
And you know what? Jake, that brings up an amazing opportunity. You know, and I'm just putting it out there. You know, Jake, Therese, and I will discuss this after, but maybe we do that for the audiences. We put together, you know, a Google Hangout, and then they can see all three of us.
Yes.
We'll make it a special event.
Yeah, and because of my, you know, I've got all this intuitive stuff, but I've also got a very strong geek background too. And so I know, you know, the fun part of this is I know all the things we need to do to make that happen, and it's really easy.
Yay!
Yes, he's such a gem. I'm like, oh, let's make it happen right now, because I would love to. So we're, just to reiterate for our audience who may or may not know, so Jess is in California, I'm in Seattle, and Jake's in the Ukraine. And so knowing who's feeling the spark, I mean, we feel it, but then we all get it at the same time. And so there's going to be moments where we're just all talking with excitement. And I forget what the question was, because I got so focused on this idea of like wanting to see you.
This is going to be a real tight show.
Also, I have not finished my coffee, so I'm only halfway caffeinated.
And you know, well, I switched up again and did a protein drink this morning. I've been switching it up on our audience, Jake. Usually, you know, it's been coffee in the morning. Therese and I have our coffee. We have a little coffee talk with our audience, but I've been switching it up lately, and the other day I had green juice, which is something that I love, and I've been drinking more of. And today, since I did a quick workout before the show, I was like, ooh, I got to get my protein shake in. And so just did that instead. So I just finished my protein drink. So it's really interesting how it's kind of shifted. So what are you drinking, Jake? You're drinking tea, right?
Yes, my darling wife just made me a cup of tea while I was getting ready for show. So I'm being spoiled.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's evening, right? It's evening where you are, so you don't want a bunch of caffeine anyway.
No, well, I've already had coffees this afternoon at the cafe that I visited this afternoon just for a bit of fun while we were out shopping. I'm a very good husband. I'm very patient at shopping, and all you have to do is feed and water me, and I'm great. I go for hours.
I bet you enjoy it. Secretly, you do. My husband's that
well,
way.
Well, I do. Because I get to understand who my wife is, what she loves, what her desires are, what she doesn't like.
Aww.
And then, and also I can feel into what she's doing, and if she's not listening to her guidance and she's getting frustrated like she was this afternoon at one stage, I went, right, we're leaving the shop. And she goes, but where are we going? I said, we're going for food.
Mm.
And because I listen to my guidance in everything. I have to. I'm just going to put us on topic for a sec.
Great. Excellent. Let's go. You had an amazing experience. Well, you know, it's one of those blessings in disguise, right? Where Jake had a health concern and then it ended up hospitalizing him and he had a near death experience. So this kind of goes into, I think, where you're headed, Jake. So I'm just going to step back here and let you tell your story, because I think you're really going to connect with our audience here. They're going to be amazed.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let me just give you a tiny bit of background. Why am I in the Ukraine when I'm from Australia and New Zealand? Because whilst I was born in New Zealand, I lived in Australia for a long time and called Australia home. And it's funny that if anyone has ever seen the Qantas advertisement for Australia, I still call Australia home. it's a song that they play. Yeah, sorry, it's just television many years ago. Stamped that little sucker on my head. But anyway, back in 2011, I was meditating and I heard, you're leaving Australia in July 2012. Get rid of everything. I was in a new relationship. I had a business. I had a car. What do I do? Do I listen? Do I trust? I didn't listen. Every time I meditate, I'd hear, you're leaving in July 2012. You've got to trust. Do as we say. Now, I've had good conversations and good work with my guides for nearly 30 years. But underneath it all, there was this bit of doubt. I had doubt in myself, doubt in my ability. Oh, somebody's typing.
Oh, sorry.
I'm just going to clunk.
Busted.
Busted. Busted.
I know. Sorry. Go ahead.
And so, I love this game. It's fun. And so, I had to. Oh, it's hard to tell the story with you two.
Go ahead.
Okay, we promise we'll be good.
I don't want you to be good. I want you to be you.
We'll try to behave, but you know, with
I was just bragging about you. Yes, I just wanted you to know that we're just, I'm on the Facebook telling people that they need to get on this call and listen to this amazing
show.
And
I was doing the same thing too, except I wasn't typing. I was just promoting. We're promoting you as you're speaking.
Yes, I understand that. Oh, I appreciate it so much. Anyway, so here I was with this challenge. Do I trust completely and put my entire life? I was in a new relationship. But I still had doubt about what I was doing in myself. Now, I've been doing it for 30 years. I had amazing results. But I'd helped hundreds, thousands of people. But I still had doubt. Now, everywhere I looked, all the psychic associations around the world, everywhere you look, it says, if you are a psychic, you cannot be completely correct. We do not allow you to say that you are 100% correct. You can't be accurate. We
right.
can't trust what you say. And if you look at all the psychic websites out there that are complying to various government department rules, they all have the disclaimer on.
Yeah. I have
yeah.
it on my site, too. I'm guilty
I
of that.
Know,
yep.
Because you're complying to government rules.
Yes.
Well, I didn't like that. Because I didn't want to have doubt in what I said. I didn't want to have doubt in my connection. I didn't want to have doubt around what who I am and what I do. I wanted to have the confidence and I wanted to trust. And
yeah,
people called me crazy because I was getting rid of my stuff. And over the various months, the first few months of 2012, I was getting rid of things. And people were going, "You're mad." And I'm going, "No, I'm trusting what I do." And they're going, "But where are you going?" And I went, "I don't know." Now, fortunately, I got an invitation to represent Australia in the casting of the TV show Battle of the Psychics in Ukraine. The show is called Bitva Ekstrasensiv. That's the Ukrainian version of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's an international TV show where 12 psychics are put to the test and there are various tasks. Now, it's a franchise model all around the world. In some
Ooh.
Countries, the tasks are quite simple. In Ukraine, oh no. Yeah. I didn't know what I was coming in for, but I basically got invited. And then 2 weeks later, I got a phone call from them saying, "Sorry, we can't fly you. We've run out of money. X Factor have taken our budget." Now, for those who know anything about Ukraine, it's a country of poverty, huge poverty and huge fraud.
Mm-hmm.
That's why if you've heard about all the government, the wars and stuff that's going on in Ukraine, there's been a lot of criminal activity and a lot of rubbish going on. But what you find in Ukraine are some of the most wonderful people on earth. And I remember a few months went by after they said no. It was June. Everything. I kept meditating and I got rid of everything. Now all I've got is a suitcase. What do I do now? And I had moved to Sydney. I was in Brisbane. I booked my ticket to Sydney. 2 days later, I get a phone call from Ukraine. "Jake, we want you in Ukraine this Saturday."
Wow.
I said no. I couldn't get a visa done in time. I needed a visa.
Yeah.
1,500 kilometers away. I had commitments. I couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And they rang me back and said, I said no. And they said, "Okay, we'll call you back in an hour." I'm now walking along the beach going, have I just ruined the biggest opportunity of my life? Well, the phone came back and they said, "Jake, the producers have just passed you on the first two tasks. You'll fly in next Wednesday. You'll arrive Thursday. And your filming for the final task will be Friday for casting." So that following Wednesday, I have my visa. I'm standing at Sydney Airport, about to board one of three planes. My first plane took me Sydney to Thailand. And I remember I took a photo of me at this time. I'm standing. You know that big queue that happens? Oh, my God, we can get on the plane.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm standing there amongst the crowd, and I took this photo to remember that feeling because I'm going to a country nothing about. I can't speak the language. I'm going to meet somebody who says they're from a TV station. I have to trust that.
Yeah.
They've paid for my ticket. Mm-hmm. They've given me a one-way ticket there. Not a return ticket. They're going to meet me at the airport, and I have no idea who they are and what they look like. I really have to trust.
Yeah.
I got there. I got to Kiev. I was an hour and a half late. My plane was delayed. My luggage got lost. And when I finally got through, I was, you know, 2-3 hours late. And I'm thinking, is my ride actually going to be here? Because my phone was dead. I didn't have the phone number of the person I was meant to be meeting. I came out and I'm walking out going, I have no cash because I don't have Ukrainian money on me. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what to do. And this man walks up to me and goes, Jake. And the relief was amazing.
I'm sure.
And then as we're driving along the freeway, we pass an area in Ukraine. And I see all these high-rise buildings, and I start taking photos. And as we're driving past that area, the guy from the TV studio, he says to me, Jake, are you married or single? I went, single. He goes, would you like a Ukraine bride? And I went, well, if I fall
like,
in
like,
love.
Would you like a sandwich?
Yeah, I'm sort of going, okay. When in Rome, Kolga, Russian brides, you know, the whole story. If I fall in love, sure. Well, he took me to the hotel and off went the TV show program. And we did a whole heap of filming. And some of the experiences I had, like, some of the situations were incredibly disturbing. We did readings for one family whose his daughter was kidnapped, raped, and murdered. We had, you know, another one which was a ritualistic suicide a guy did with two knives. And I did a reading for him, for the father, and then reunited the mother, the grandparents, and the father all back together. That off camera. What ended up happening was I was put in all these difficult situations, highly emotive, some dangerous. There were explosions around us. There were traps. I even got injured from running from one explosion and tore my thigh muscle. I had to trust everything that was happening. I didn't understand the drivers. I didn't understand. I couldn't read anything in the streets. But I learned how to travel around Ukraine, around Kiev, use the metro, use the buses, how to order food, drink, and have people standing around me speaking a completely foreign language.
Mm.
And actually speaking about me in front of me. Because when you're hearing them speaking in Russian, the producers and stuff, they'll be going, blah, 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 Jake. Blah, 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 Jake. And you go, huh? And you go, okay, right, I'll have a look at your energy and read your energy.
That's what I was going to say. That's what I guess I would have to do that too. Just go in there, start looking for the nonverbal cues.
Mm-hmm.
And so what ended up happening was I learned to trust my instinct, my connection, to the point where it was always right. And then what I discovered was it's always right, but the timing may not match.
Mm.
I had one client here I did a reading for, and he wanted lots of money / wife. So I looked into his life, went forward in time and had a look at his future and looked at his past and went, right, there's four things you've got to do. That was fine. 3 months later, she was my fiance then, but now my wife, we were in a hardware store. We were buying taps for our bathroom. As you do when you're a couple and you've got a flat and you're making home and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, typical Sunday afternoon buying taps, and we get a phone call, and my wife answers and she says it was this guy, and he had some questions. And I said, okay, what's questions? And she said, well, the first thing he's saying is he did the first task. Now his business is going really well. He's making lots of money. But he hasn't got the girl yet. And I said to her, has he done the other three tasks? And so she asked him, and he said, no, he hadn't. And I said, go away. You already know you do the first task, it works, you've got a result. Do the other three. Now, this is the point that people don't follow through. They don't trust the process. They think that, oh, I haven't got this yet, so I'll just stop.
Right.
How many times have we stopped because we don't understand the process and we don't trust the process?
Yeah, it's so funny because one of the messages that I get from my guides, one of the things they said, and it goes right down to the title of the show, is that we, in general, what's happening is we wait for the outcome to happen before we pay the trust forward. And so that wanting to know what the process looks like, trying to figure it out before it happens, and then deciding whether or not you can trust that process is part of what we're doing. When, you know, they're saying to me things like, well, listen, you know, you don't get to eat your groceries before you pay for them. It's like,
well, I've seen people do that in supermarkets, actually.
Well, yeah. I mean,
that's true. It's not the right thing to do.
And for all the wonderful mothers that are listening, I've seen you feeding your children as you're going through the supermarket.
guilty. I've totally done that. But yeah, I always bring up the goods. But as far as creating a meal, let's say, not popping a few grapes, but creating an actual meal.
I've seen that too. When I was a teenager, I worked in the supermarket industry. You'll be surprised what I see people do in supermarkets.
It's true. We get kind of brazen, don't we? We're like, I'm going to pay for it. So, but yes, in general, the idea is that, you know, that first the payment needs to be made, in which case energetically it's trust. Trusting comes first and then the process unfolds.
Yes, but do you know the point of failure in that trusting process? And it's a point of failure that affects everyone.
Bring it home. Tell us what it is.
Are you ready for this? Because this this is the goal.
Yeah, come on. Bring it.
But it's also the kick in the butt, too. It's gold, but with a big boot up your butt.
All right.
Because you're not trusting you.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about your guides. I'm not talking about spirit. I'm not talking about God or angels or any other thing that you want to trust. I'm talking about you.
Yes.
We forget. We go, oh, I trust my guides, but I don't trust me.
When you're talking about me, are you talking about, just
the
to clarify,
me.
The physical you or the higher you?
No, the physical you.
Okay, so you're talking about our instrument, right?
Yes. This wonderful body that we have, we put all our... I see this so much with people in the spiritual world. They put so much out to the spirit world. Hello? You're physical.
Yeah, and you know, just... I that resonates so deeply with me, Jake, because I recently was in meditation and realized that it starts with you. It starts in the center of you. And as long as you can dial into that and really authentically trust yourself and make it internal, not an external experience, because the external experience is constantly shifting and changing.
That's right.
As long as you can go internal and trust that you have exactly what you need for you in that moment, and that you are a powerful creator, you can create whatever you want, then you can affect the external.
So do you know how to have that trust in you?
How do we make it bigger? Tell us.
You did the key, you said a key point. You go to the center, and where is the center of us?
In the heart.
Yeah.
That's the place. And what's in the heart? What sits in the heart?
Okay.
There's
love.
One word, and it's really simple. Love. Love sits in the heart. And the second that you love yourself, and how many of us look in the mirror each day and go, I love me. I rock.
I do.
Yeah.
Actually, no, it's a practice I started months ago, and it changed everything for me. It really did.
I did this with, I get my clients to do it. And I'll get people into tears within 30 seconds, but I'll ask them. Actually, I had one guy, he was a Ukrainian gentleman. I'm going to paint a really harsh picture here, and I apologize if it sounds so harsh, but it's actually the truth. I was doing a reading for a lady in Ukraine. We were in her home. Her husband wasn't meant to be there. He was a very overweight, very morbidly obese gentleman who was drunk and half naked, and he stayed home instead of going to work driving his truck. Kind of good that he wasn't on the road, kind of bad that he was there. Now, I'm sitting there doing a reading with my wonderful wife translating, and telling this woman how she really, you know, the cards are showing it, she needs to leave. I'm doing some marriage counseling with her as well. I'm a trained counselor, so, you know, I've got multi-counselor hypnotherapy. I've got multiple modalities, so I don't just do psychic stuff. Now, he came out, he looked at what we were doing, and he starts swearing, saying very bad Russian words. Now, if you think that in English we have bad words, well, in Russian, for every four-letter English word that we have, they have five different words for that.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Russian language is very amazing.
Very colorful.
Oh, incredibly. It's an amazing language. I'm learning bits of it. You know, if I could see you, I'd be saying that you've got krasivaya glaza. You've got beautiful eyes. Okay. But anyway.
Thank you.
Yeah, I know. Gosh, yeah, I know. And so here we were. Here's this guy saying really bad Russian words, and I could feel what he was saying, and he's leaning over me. Well, he's sweaty. Smelt disgusting. Okay, you know how drunk people smell that haven't bathed in a week?
Oh.
It's not good.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah.
That's not pleasant.
Get a little bit nasty. I apologize, but this is the truth. And I said to my wife, "So what's he saying?" And she goes, "I'm not saying those words. I'm not translating those words." And I went, "Right, okay." And I looked at him, and the nicest thing I could—well, this is the nice version of what I said to him was, "Look, just because your father didn't show you the love." And didn't love you, I know what that's like. So my wife translated about how this gentleman, his father, did not love him. And he didn't have to dump his anger on me because I actually understood. Well, have you ever seen a Mack truck come to a screaming stop in 5 seconds flat from 100 kilometers an hour?
No, I have never seen that, actually.
It's an amazing sight to see. And this guy, he went from this angry, very aggressive, get out of my house, I'm going to punch you. Now his hands were the size of my head.
Yeah.
He snapped me like a twig. Because I showed him that just because he wasn't loved as a child and as an adult, doesn't mean he can do that to other people. Well, within about 5 seconds, the tears were streaming down his cheeks. He was sobbing like a baby, and I just stood up. Now, he had no shirt on and just a pair of shorts. Sweaty, fat, hairy. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I've got the visual.
Yeah, so do I. Wow.
I put my arms around him and I pulled him close and I gave him the strongest hug of his life. And I held him while he sobbed like a baby on my shoulders. Now, I took a really highly volatile situation and turned it into one where I was in control. I was safe because I was concerned about myself and my wife,
mm-hmm.
and his wife, for that matter, our safety. I took a really highly volatile situation and flipped it because I have complete trust in what comes out my mouth. I have complete trust. And I've had it proven to me time and time again. At one task with Battle of the Psychics, I kept seeing a huge circle area with hundreds of people running around, a giant fire, and them all being ritualistically slaughtered. Now, we were right near a cemetery at the time with a forest next to it. Well, after my filming had finished, I went for a walk to that forest. And as I came through the trees, there was a clearing area, a big round circle, and hundreds of shallow graves. Oh, yeah, what I find is real. What I see is real. When I'm doing my investigations, I've identified murderers. I've identified thieves and crooks and all the other stuff.
So
I am so ridiculously accurate. It scares me sometimes.
Yeah, I was going to say, the question I had for that was, you know, what do you do for yourself in terms of creating a sense of safety and protection around you?
I don't say some things. With some of my investigations,
mm-hmm.
I've had to hold back some evidence from being made on camera. And I've delivered it privately off camera. I know things about things that I just can't share.
And how do you know? So tell me about that, though. How do you know? Because that's one of the things that, you know, does come up for people who are intuitive and do this professionally. There is a discernment that you have to develop, a discretion.
Absolutely.
So how do you make that discernment in yourself?
It's easy. It's experience. And I always ask if I do need to share this, and if I need to share it, I do. But I share it so it's safe. I had one person whose husband had been murdered, and I did an investigation and identified everybody that was involved. And when I saw what was actually happening, it was a multinational company.
Oh.
And it was the management of a multinational company smuggling all sorts of things around the world. And I could not identify. I couldn't share that. I said to her, you've got to let it go. Move on with your life. I know now what your husband did, what he did, and he lost his life. He lost his life to save your life. I am not going to undo that honor that he gave you. You may think he left you for a bad reason. He honored you. He was a hero. He saved your life.
Wow.
And this is where my guides show me the truth, but they also show me where I need to share that truth.
So I have an interesting kind of question for you. Since you get to see, you know, so many shades and levels of this world that a lot of us don't see, a lot of us mm-hmm. don't get that insight. So how do you stay connected to that feeling of, I mean, I understand that it's heart-centered and you're coming from the heart, but when you're experiencing or you're getting this information about different shades of humanity, how do you stay attached to that good feeling?
I have to work at it some days. Some days it's really hard. One of my psychic investigations was about a pedophile.
No.
Yeah. His 12-year-old daughter. She went and hung herself after he did what he did. Yeah, it was horrible. And it took me about 3 months to come back from doing that investigation.
So
it took me about 3 months working on myself, clearing those energetic. Because when I do these investigations, when I do this work, I am 100% emotionally committed to the experience. And this is what I mean about trusting the process. When you're doing this, when you're wanting to go, when you're wanting anything to happen in your life, you want abundance, you want love, you want a new job, you want a dog, a cat, you've got to be completely committed to the experience. And I wanted to be completely committed to me, to everything about me. Well, I've learned that. And part of it has left scars on me. I now have a 25-centimeter scar down my belly, for goodness sake, because I've had emergency surgery here in Ukraine.
Yeah, and that story.
My belly was about to explode.
If you could share, you know, you don't have to share explicit details, but if you could share what led up to it and how, you know, your experience of what you came back with after you went to the other side, because it's quite amazing. And I really think that our listeners are going to glean huge benefits from it.
Okay. Well, the short version is we come to Ukraine to visit our family. After traveling the world and getting married, and we spent about 18 months traveling. And,
wow.
You know, it was nice to sort of be home at Mama's place and relax a little bit. And my wife also has a 17-year-old son. And so we came back to get him because we're about to travel again. Now, I woke up with my belly on fire, basically. Wanting to explode. I was in so much pain. The ambulance arrived. They took me to hospital. For a day and a half, they did tests on me. These people were speaking a language around me that I didn't understand. Now, I know I'm learning Russian slowly because in Ukraine there's two languages, Russian and Ukrainian, and they're very similar. But my wife primarily speaks Russian, and so, you know, I'm learning Russian phrases and Russian language and so on. Can I say a bad word on air, or would you prefer this to be G-rated? Okay, good.
Say it.
Okay. I just want to check the censorship levels here. Okay. Well, basically, after a day and a half of me being in excruciating pain, lying on the floor of a Russian hospital because I couldn't sit while I was waiting for various other tests, and I've got surgeons, I've got three surgeons in the room, and they're all arguing over what they want to do, and they don't know what to do, and they're afraid because I'm a foreigner, I'm in a country town, it's a regional hospital, they don't see foreigners very often. No one there speaks English. And I'm in so much pain, and I knew I was going to die. Now, this is something that I want to make very clear. I knew I was going to die, but I had to trust the process. I actually knew before I went for the operation, because what I said to him was, and I yelled it at the top of my voice so the entire ward heard, "For fuck's sake, do your job. Cut me open and fix this fucking thing." Okay.
I love it.
No polite, no, "Excuse me, doctor, would you mind, you know, nah, for fuck's sake, cut me open and fix this."
Yeah. Seems appropriate for the situation, I would say.
That's what I was going to say. That, nothing creates an exclamation mark like that.
Yeah, and you know, he goes, okay, panamaya, which means understand. Next thing you know, girl's there, she shakes my belly, I'm thrown on a trolley and off I go, say goodbye to Sveta and off I go. I knew I was going to die. This part, I'm lying there, hoping I come back. And then the anaesthetist tries to shove a tube down my throat. That don't work. Doesn't work while I'm conscious. And I'd already told him not to do it. It was, oh, for fuck's sake, I told you not to. I was past the being polite at this point, okay? I'm normally very lovely and polite, but this point, yeah, no. And so...
And he really is. He really is.
Yeah, I'm really lovely. I'm really lovely, but when I need to say the four-letter word, it happens. And sometimes I'll actually say it with clients. If
That's
they need
why
to
I didn't
want to
censor you. I just wanted to let you go with it.
And so what ended up happening was my lights went out. Now, while my lights weren't out, now, I've astral traveled a lot in my life, okay? I know the astral travel process really well. I can do that in a heartbeat. I can move forward and backwards in time. I can jump into people's lives and go forward in their life and back in their lives. I can see all sorts of stuff. And I've had fun learning how to use my gifts. I've even been able to change people's physiology and make them change their movements whilst they're not aware of it. Have them walk backwards suddenly. That's a really fun trick.
I like that.
There's a switch inside your head if you know how where it is that you can make someone walk backwards when they're walking forward. It's really cool. It's a neat. It's one of those party tricks that you only do with people that you have a very strong trust with.
Right.
So all of a sudden, Teresa and I are going to start walking backwards after the show.
I was
going to
say.
Well, you'd be surprised at what's going to happen after the show. But that's another game.
Dun, dun, dun. Psychic prediction right here, right now.
And so what ended up happening was with astral travel, there's always a cord connecting you to your body. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a cord. Mm. I completely left my body. Now, I had five surgeons working on me. I know they let the anaesthetist let my blood pressure drop. I know I died. I completely left my body. And as I left my body, I was taken to this beautiful room. And the light was this most amazing bluish-white light. Now, it was a very blue-white light. In this room were over 10,000 angels. And I heard the number. Because I went, wow. And I heard 10,000. Oh, okay, so there's 10,000 angels here. Cool. And I could see all these shapes. Now, as I walked up to one that was incredibly bright in front of me, I realized it was Archangel Michael.
Mm.
And he's standing there. Now, he was just a circle of light for his head, a triangle of light for his body, but these huge wings. And I could see. Now, have you seen the movie X-Men?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's X-Men 2 where there's the guy with the wings. The beautiful white wings.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or even the movie Maleficent when her wings were white.
Yeah.
These beautiful, beautiful, powerful, amazing wings. I couldn't see arms or hands or feet or legs to wings. That was an amazing part for me because I'm looking at these wings and I'm seeing each feather. The minute detail of every feather, every line, every crease, every, I don't know what the bones of a feather are called, but we'll call them bones. The hard bit, the cut, you know, the hard bit of a feather that holds the fluffy bits on. That's a technical term.
I think it's a spine. It's the spine of the feather.
I think so. That yeah, that sounds right, Therese.
Yeah, it works.
Thank you very much.
Detail, but their heads were all bright light, this blue white light. It was amazing. And Michael said to me, I knew it was Archangel Michael. How did I know? I knew. And he said to me, it's not your time. You have to go back. Not, we want you to go back. Not, you can choose to go back. You have to go back. And I'm standing there, and then he says, you still have many lives to save. Now, how many of us want to know what our purpose in life is? Yeah. Well, I now know my purpose in life. I've got many lives to save. And that angel Michael told me that. Now, I can trust that that wasn't just a hallucination. I can trust that that was a near-death experience. I can trust that the anesthetist screwed up. I know he did. Because of all the surgeons that operated on me and all the doctors and nurses, the anesthetist was the only person who didn't come and visit me after the operation.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone knows that I'm psychic. I'm famous here, okay? The shows that I've been on have been watched by 30 throughout the country. We were shopping today, and as we walk through the mall, I get these girls giggling, and they look at me and giggle, and then they start speaking, and my wife goes, you've been recognized. I went, yeah, I know. I have people coming up to me. I'm treated like Brad Pitt here, okay?
It's really nice. Cool. Nice.
Oh, yeah, there's some advantages. You know, there's advantages. I always get good tables and restaurants, and I always get great service. But the nicest thing about it is people look at me and they smile.
Yeah.
Because guess what they do? Now, they've all seen my shows. They trust me.
Yeah.
Now, I have a responsibility as a public figure to live that with honor.
Exactly. Once you're in this position of doing the work and helping other people do the work, you have to walk your talk. Otherwise, there's a big chunk of integrity missing.
Oh, yeah. And this is about trusting the process, trusting ourselves, and getting through it and actually living it. And you have to work at it.
Yes.
I have to work at it. And you know, last night, neither Sveta or I could sleep. My darling wife and I, we could not sleep. Now, the super moon this week has been, quite amazing.
Yes,
it has.
But I said to Sveta, you know what's happening, don't you? And she goes, what? And I said, we haven't made a decision on this subject that we've been talking about the last few days. And she goes, yeah. I said, we're going to have to make a decision. We're not trusting.
Mm. And
I have moments where if I'm not listening because I'm busy doing other things, because I'm human, even though some people call me an alien, well, yes, I am, but that's another game. That's another TV. That's another show.
Yeah.
Well, you're an alien and Teresa's a unicorn and I'm a mermaid, so it's all good.
We're technically mermicorns. We're part unicorn, part mermaid. Jake's just like, I gotta go.
He's like, yeah, okay, that's enough.
Yeah, in the Panamaya English. That means I don't understand English. anyway, so we have to trust, and so then we went into what we were working through, and we gained huge realizations and huge understandings. And an hour later,
it's the surrender. It's the letting go process. Part of the process.
No, it's the actual being honest and authentic and moving through it. And remembering that you're physical, because you're physical, you have to do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so many of us spiritual people, we go, the angels are going to bring that to me. So I'm just going to sit here and wait.
Sorry. sorry.
Well,
it doesn't work that way. That's why I laugh.
Get off your butt. Move it. You are a physical being who has this amazing ability to move. So go do it. Take an action. Mm-hmm. Trust that that action will lead you to another action, another result, and another result. Now, I'm not saying do stupid things. I'm saying be guided. Trust your guidance. Trust your intuition. I only do things I'm guided to do. And sometimes I just look at it and go, yeah, I'm going to do that anyway.
Well,
and when I do it, I then get more guidance about whether I'm doing it right or not. And I change and I shift.
A question actually has come up. We've got somebody who's on chat
Yep.
who has a question for you. And, you know, you're talking about trusting, you know, trusting in the physical self, doing, taking actions, because we are physical beings.
Yes.
But her question, and I wonder if this is a question that you're going to answer, but her question is more about that guidance system. Now, there's many people
yep.
have different, they translate their guidance system differently. Some it's like
yes.
it's coming from their gut, their heart. I believe there's multiple centers of guidance. That's just my own experience. So she
mm-hmm.
wants to know how you develop trust. And her question is specifically, how do you develop trust in your guides? And, you know, you said at the top of the show, you were talking about how too much importance gets put on the spiritual elements outside of yourself.
It's a two-way process. In order to trust your guides, you have to trust yourself. But what ends up happening, what I've done over my life, is I've given myself tests. I have actually worked and given myself opportunities to grow and learn
mm-hmm.
through my guides. And I've gotten them to show me many things. When I was astral traveling, when I first learned astral traveling, I went, right, I want confirmation. I want to know that what I'm doing is real. So take me to a street. I want to find a really different letterbox, you know, a mailbox. That, you know, and I'm flying around New Zealand. I go to a street. I find the street name and I learn the street name or I hear it while I'm flying. I then go down the street to a certain house and I see this very unique letterbox. And let's say it was number 25 Smith Street. So the next day, I get up, I hop in my car, because back then we had maps, not GPS.
Mm-hmm.
Smith Street. I drive to Smith Street. I recognize the sign. As I'm driving up the street, I'm seeing the houses, and deja vu kicks in. And I knew I'd been there before. And then as I pull up to this house with the letterbox, and I'm sitting there going, oh, my goodness. Well, I said another word, but I thought, well, I'll keep this part G-rated. Oh, my goodness, golly gee, it's the letterbox. Shit. What happened was real.
Yeah.
How do
well,
I explain it, this? And this was the things that I've done over the years, is everything I've done has been proven to be real. And I've managed to test every step of the way, and it's all been proven real.
You just landed on something that I think is so key that I need to reiterate it. And what you're talking about right now is practice. That's what you're talking about. And that, as we know, science has proven that mastery of any subject can be achieved 10,000 hours of practice.
Yes.
I've done more than 10,000 hours.
Right. Well, and see, anybody who's mastered something, be it an instrument or psychic or intuitive abilities, they don't stop at 10,000 hours, because usually once you get in there and you get going, you don't want to stop. It becomes a part of your life. This is just something that you do. I call it going to the psychic gym. A mutual friend of Jake and I, Rach Wilson, who we will have on the show in the future, I know, she and I,
I love her too.
Yeah. She and I get together and we go to what I call the spiritual gym. We're pumping weights, but it's with, you know, just our intuitive abilities. And we get together just to do that. That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
Practice.
And look at what it actually does to your abilities, and look at what it does to your trust in what you're doing in the process, your trust
exactly.
in the situation, and your belief is in yourself. I believe in me.
Yes. Yeah.
It's taken a long time for me to sit here and go, you know what? I actually believe in me.
It's true.
I like me.
Yeah. And that's amazing, because that's not you know, the funny thing is we all start with that. We all start with I like me, I love me, I'm awesome. I mean, I always talk about these guys, they always come up in every episode, but my kids, you know, they're almost 1 and 5, and both of them, when they find mirrors, all they do is give it love. I mean, like my kissing themselves in the mirror. And it's not, and it's so funny because it's just pure love. It's like, hey, it's me. Hey, you, I love you. Here's some smooches, you know. And
well, if people want to find their soulmate, it's really simple. Love yourself.
Yep. Look in the mirror.
It's really
exactly.
simple. Just mm-hmm. love yourself, and your soulmate will come to you so fast it will knock
it's
your socks
true.
Off.
It's true.
It's very
it
true.
Is true.
Yeah.
That's
so. See, you trust the process. You trust yourself. It all comes back to love.
Yeah.
And I don't listen now to anyone who, the skeptics. I have fun, folks. Enjoy being skeptic. I've got people in my family who are skeptics.
Yep.
I love them. Absolutely love them, but they don't believe, and that's their choice, and I honor that, and I respect that.
Yeah, well, you don't need them to, right? You don't need that external validation of somebody telling you, whether it be mom, dad, goal, whoever, that yes, this is real.
But that's what a lot of us do, is we look to the mum, to our dad, to our sisters and brothers and dogs and horses and elephants for validation.
Yeah.
And we allow that external validation. I'm being written up. There's a story about myself and Svetlana going in a magazine, an Australian magazine, shortly. We did the interview last week, and they're about to publish. Well, I know that's going to go out to 600,000 people. That's their readership. Well, I know some of those people are going to read that and go, oh, what a load of twaddle.
Twaddle. Love it.
What a load of twaddle. But I take my life very seriously with a lot of fun. But I trust my life. I trust, see, in order for me to trust, to answer that lady's question, for you to trust your guides, give them reasons to show you why.
Ooh, I love it.
I was doing some work many years ago in Brisbane, whilst living on the Gold Coast. It's about an hour's drive. And I was running late one morning. Plus, I heard on the radio, the freeway is a car park. People are going to be really late. Now, normally when I drive on the freeway, I would meditate while I drive, and I would let my guides drive. Now, I don't recommend people do this unless they've actually got a lot of experience trusting your guides. Well, I do. Again, I gave my guides reasons and opportunities to come through my body, and I trust them operating my body. Well, this day I left half an hour late. The traffic was a car park. Everyone was saying they're going to be, you know, stuck in traffic for hours and be late for work. I arrived at work 5 minutes early. After leaving half an hour late, I wasn't driving. My guides were. I took off ramps. I went down streets I did not know existed. I found way. I was taken down roads that I have never been able to find again.
Yeah. Yep.
And this is the thing. Consciously, I could not find it again.
True.
I tried. I couldn't find the flipping roads. I could never do it again. But I got to work 5 minutes early. I beat my boss, who actually left before me. And when I told them what time I left, when they got there half an hour later, they were, but you left at how? I went, yeah. They didn't understand. When you trust your guides and you give them opportunities. See, have you seen the movie by Shirley MacLaine? I'm just trying
out
to
on
a
ledge.
Cool.
Out on out on a limb. Out on a limb. And
out
no,
on a limb.
I haven't
That's
seen
it?
That yet.
Mm-mm.
Okay. It's a really long movie. It's about 4 hours, I think. The first 2 hours I found a little bit boring because it was just about her life. Sorry.
Sorry, Shirley.
Sorry, Shirley. I love and appreciate you. But that part didn't really excite me. But the second half, man, that really excited me because of all the spiritual stuff she was doing and all the connecting and all the information and the channeling that was happening. And then there was one scene where she's with a guy and he said, I'm going to trust. And he took his hands off the steering wheel on the truck that they were driving in. And as they drive down the hill, there's a corner screaming. The truck turned the corner without him touching the steering wheel.
Wow. You know, that takes a deep level of trust, because I would say don't start that as your first trust exercise, people.
Yeah,
that's advanced trust.
Don't try this at
that's
home.
That's what I said. Yeah, when you're doing the driving thing, see, I've done lots of long distance driving over the years, and so I've learned how to meditate, keep myself into an alert state whilst meditating and driving, so I can drive for 14 hours almost straight.
Yeah, that's wow.
And I've traveled a lot, and so I've learned how to use my body. I've learned how to fuel me. I've learned how to keep my connection strong. I've spent years taking actions, learning, finding different things. You know, I started, you know, whilst I had these gifts as a child, nobody understood. Nobody believed me, so I kept my mouth shut. I was just one of those weird kids.
I was a weird kid too, so I get it.
And
I was pretty weird.
Yep. Yep. I think we should have the weird kid club.
That's what we'll call our Google Hangout.
A weird kid.
And then when I first, you know, as I became an adult and I started going, you know what, I need to go into this more, I would see things, you know, things would move on my curtains would move and tell me stories. And I'm sitting there going, right, I'm not taking any drugs, I'm not drinking any alcohol. Should I lock myself up in a little padded room and get a nice jacket that does up around the back and eat jelly for the rest of my life? I'm not crazy. I'm connected. And I foretold a death. And 3 weeks later, a woman drops down dead. And I'm sort of going, can I really do this? I've got all these abilities. Do I shut them down or do I embrace them? And I did everything I could over the years. I learned witchcraft. I learned angelcraft. I studied all sorts of things. Hypnotherapy, counseling, Reiki, you know, energy work. It just how the body works, the different modalities that are out there. I took actions to find answers, and what I discovered was the answers were inside me all the time. And it was really, really simple. Love. Through all of this, I had to love me.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came out and regained consciousness after my near-death experience and the surgery, I opened my eyes and Svetlana was there. And I realized I'm back. I realized I've been born again. I needed help to go to the toilet. I needed help to be fed. I actually said to her one day as she's helping me to the toilet while I was in the hospital. It was one of those moments where you actually have to give over all your modesty, all your ego, and hand it over to somebody else and go, you know what? I have to just receive from you because I can't do it myself. You know, she had to bathe me for weeks after the operation because I couldn't do it myself. I'm sitting here now with a big brace around my belly to stop my scar from stretching and the pain of it stretching because it's still healing.
Yeah.
I had to trust other people, but more importantly, I had to trust myself. And I realized that the more I loved myself, the faster my healing occurred. And the doctors couldn't understand how quickly I could get up and walk around. They couldn't understand how quickly I was healing.
Oh, there's just so much. There is so much that we can do with our bodies that we don't even know yet. I mean, we've only touched on it.
But I need to share with you one other thing that happened. It was about day 5, I think, after the operation. And I went to the bathroom. And whilst I was there, yes, please. Oh, goody, my darling has come in and she's getting me another cup of tea. Woohoo!
Tea service. Nice.
she's so wonderful. No, I'm okay. I feel the love. Anyway. I went to the bathroom, I went to the toilet. Now, I had a tear in my small intestine, and that's what they had to cut me open. They had to cut me open and fix it. Going to the toilet was quite painful. Number 2s were not very happy. I completed the number 2, and my temperature shot through the roof. I broke out in a hot, cold sweat.
Mm-hmm.
I almost fainted and collapsed onto the floor.
Yep.
I screamed for the nurse. Seta and the nurse came running. They helped me back to bed. I then lay there. My temperature dropped immediately and I came back to stable. Well, we turned the lights off. Well, Seta turned the lights off. And as she turned, we're in a dark room. There is no light in this room. But there's a bright light coming from my stomach. It's the exact shape of my stomach. And it's coming up about a meter. It's this bright white light. Now, it doesn't make logical sense to be able to see that. There was nothing in the room that could create light. The curtains were thick and closed. There was no external lights. And for this light to be the shape of my body, of the stomach area of my body, it doesn't make logical sense. And she said to me, I can see a light on your tummy. And I said, yeah, they're working on it. I can feel them working on it. That's the angels. They're healing me. The next day, the best thing I can say was that I was healed. From that moment onwards, I didn't need painkillers. I didn't need any pain medicine. I didn't need any assistance. Well, I did sort of, but not really. I could walk. I could move. Now, this is 5 days after major life-saving surgery. It doesn't make sense that I was as mobile as I could be, that I was pain-free. It didn't make sense. But, no, the angels healed me at that moment. They healed me.
As you're talking about this, just FYI, it's 11:11 a.m. over here right now. Just so you know.
I love their work. I love their work. I see angel numbers all the time. I'm always surrounded by angel numbers. I'm always surrounded by angels, and I'm part of their world.
Yes. Yes,
I'm an
yes.
angel on earth, and that's a really nice way to say it. I'm an angel on earth.
There you go. I agree.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
No, shucks. These things happened. I had times where they showed me proof. I got proof every time because I gave them the opportunity to give me that proof. So if you want to learn how to trust your guides, trust your connection, get proof. Play with them. I love playing with my guides. And I get cheeky with them.
They're cheeky.
I'll call them, silly
too.
Words. I will play with them, and it's fun.
It is. Well, the universe has an amazing sense of humor. And one of the things that I hear from my guides is, you know, where do you think you got it from? Like you, a lot of times humanity sort of claims to be the source of it all, when really we're just a reflection of the bigger the bigger energy out there.
But you are a source of it all.
Yes.
See, I want you to take back your power here, okay?
Okay.
Because this is one thing that really bugs me again about spiritual people. We hand our power away to this magical fairy in the sky, and we're not, I'm just doing what they say. No, I'm not. I'm a freaking amazingly wonderful human being. I'm walking love, and I know that when I hug a person, their life changes. Now, my darling wife, because I, with all my clients, if I see you physically in person, you get a hug. And when I hug you, I change your energy form. I jump into your energy. I clean it all up and clear out the crap from this life and however many other lives that need to be. And I leave you standing there in a place of love. And for many people, it's the first time they've actually felt pure unconditional love. This is something I've learned how I can do this. And it's so much fun to actually do a person. This is why I make people cry all the time, because it's the first time they often, I've just seen 15, it's the first time they often feel love.
Mm.
Now, I'm a physical person of power. And that's not from my ego. It's got nothing to do with my ego.
Right.
It's to do with the fact that I am this physical, real thing that is amazing, that has these wonderful abilities to interact with people. And I have a responsibility, and a especially by my darling. I just got my cup of tea. And I have this responsibility to honor every person that I interact with. Even if I don't like them, they can be the most horrible person on earth, and I'll still honor them.
We're just taking a moment. No, we were taking a moment to let that land. Let it land.
Let it land softly like a little feather.
I've had some horrible people come past me in my life. I've had some bad things happen to me in my life. I've had some wonderful things happen to me as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about good, the bad, the ugly. It's about the love in every moment. Now, I'm currently writing a book about my near-death experience. It's called Only One Moment. Yesterday, I wrote another 1,500 words. I've got 3,000 words so far. And over the next couple of weeks, I'll get it up to around 10, 15,000 words.
That's impressive.
And the thing is, I'm doing it when I'm guided to do it.
Yeah.
I'm trusting that whatever I'm writing is exactly what needs to be written. And this is what our life is about, trusting the process. Otherwise, imagine your life where you did not trust the process. It's not hard, but you do that most days.
I was going to say, that's pretty much the standard experience right now most people are having.
But let me just snap people out of that for a moment. Did you know that when you walk, does one foot come out in front of the other?
Right.
It does. It's kind of automatic, isn't it?
Right.
Did you know that you are intentionally trying to fall over when you walk? You are intentionally taking your weight, pushing it forward, and trusting that your foot will step down, stop you from ending up in a crumpled heap on the ground, and then you move it forward again, and you're hoping like heck that the foot that was behind you now becomes in front. And you do it completely unconsciously. You trust that you can walk.
It is. I mean, it's so interesting. I mean, the whole concept of that is being off balance and then finding your balance and then constantly moving forward. And it's kind of a beautiful metaphor for life, actually, if you think about it.
It is the metaphor of life.
It is. Mm-hmm. So it's so funny. I mean, yeah. Constantly reflecting itself. That's one of the things I love, is that universal truth. When it's a universal truth, you can find the thread of it everywhere. In little patterns and big patterns.
Yeah. Now, do we have any other questions in the chat?
I will check and see if anything's coming up. They're really on board. They love questioner loved the information you gave. She's going to start doing practices where she gives her guides reasons to prove it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And when you give your guides reasons to prove it, don't play it small. Play it crazy.
Play it crazy? Give us
You'd be amazed at what you can receive.
Well, I was, as you were talking about it, it reminded me of reading the book E-Squared by Pam Grout. And I loved that book because it basically is just a bunch of practices for you to try. And one of my favorite ones was a practice where you tell the universe that you want to either within the next 24 or 48 hours, you want to see purple feathers or yellow butterflies. Just, you know, basically manifest that into your experience. Pick one and manifest it. And I was sitting there in a restaurant reading this book, and I was like, it was fall, and I chose yellow butterflies. I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to see yellow butterfly right now, because I'm thinking the actual butterfly.
Yep.
And so I finished reading the chapter, I put it down, and I literally pick up, I was sitting at the bar of the restaurant, I was waiting for my husband, I pick up, there's a magazine sitting at the end of the bar. And so I grab it, and I open it, and as I open it to an ad for a high-end jewelry. And what is it a picture of? A yellow diamond butterfly. right there. I didn't even take 24 hours. I literally just read the experiment and put the book down and opened it up and got a yellow butterfly. And I was like,
Well, I need to jump in here because now we've all heard of the movie The Secret. Some people love it, some people hate it. Mm-hmm. There was a line in there that when Esther was in the first version of The Secret, Esther Hicks we're talking about,
mm-hmm.
When she was in there, she was saying about how there's this precipice of time, that when you want something, we have time, and that time gives you the ability to manifest. And so, because we don't want instant manifestation. Well, speak for yourself, Esther. I don't want an elephant pooing in my lounge room because that was the picture they gave us. However, I do want instant manifestation, thank you. Why? Because we're the McDonald's generation. We want everything in 30 seconds or less.
Yeah.
I have been able to instantly manifest everything I require, everything I desire. I can manifest immediately. Do you want to know the secret? And we've only got 7 minutes left. So do you want to know the secret?
Lay it on us.
Instant manifestation. Okay. It's really easy, but it's going to be the hard thing that you'll ever do.
All right. Break it down.
Love yourself.
Yes, it's true. No, Jake, it's true. I found this experience to be almost like a quantum leap in my manifestation abilities, especially over the last, maybe week. And I put all my focus on self-love and unconditional love and being guided by, like you were saying earlier, you do what you want. You take your guidance and you move with your intuition and your guidance. And that's what I elected to do. And then everything started to fall into place beautifully. I mean, better than I could even imagine. So I think it's an incredibly powerful state to live your life in.
And the more we do it, the better it becomes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that doesn't mean to say crap's not going to happen.
Right.
But guess what? I had crap happen. I came to Ukraine very healthy. I was here a week and I fell. I ended up having to have emergency surgery. Now, most people are going to look at that and go, oh my God, that's terrible. But do you know that I did readings for the surgeons? I did readings for the nursing staff. Whilst I'm recovering from major surgery, I'd be lying on a bed half naked, having nurses changing my wound. You know, I look like an orange Oompa Loompa from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory because of the stuff they put on your belly. And this girl's going, can you tell me about my future? And am I going to get pregnant? And can you tell me about my life? And will I meet the man of my dreams? And it's sort of, excuse me, I'm lying here. I'm almost naked and you're pulling tape off my belly while pulling a weeping wound and you want what?
Not the best timing on her part.
Yeah, but the timing of that, it was all about love.
Yeah.
And this is the point. This is what happens. These are the things that I do when I'm with my clients. I teach them actions to take that connect them to their guides, that connect them to their hearts, that bring about the transformation that they require in order to receive what it is they want to manifest. Now, that could be designing a business, a new relationship, fixing their current relationship. In some cases, discovering what happened to their daughter who got hit by a train. I take people on a journey. It's what I do, and I do it with love, and I honor you in every moment. Even if I have to kick you up the bum, I'll honor you at the same time. But I'll do it with love, and I'll show you love like you've never felt before. And that's the secret to the ultimate currency. You don't trust something else. You don't need to trust your guides. You need to trust yourself. Because then when your guides give you information, you will know in your heart if it's true.
Mm-hmm.
You will know what you're doing, these actions you're taking, these thoughts you're having, these feelings you're experiencing. You'll know their truth. The more you love yourself, the easier it is to trust you. And that's how you do it.
So simple, isn't it? So mm-hmm. simple.
It's simple, but it's really hard. And that's why people come to me for help. Because it's hard.
Well, we have a tendency to, in this old pattern thinking, to just overthink things. Like, it's got to be harder. Mm-hmm. It's got to be more to it than that. There's got to be more steps I'm missing. Love myself, yeah. Blah. You know, like, I can feel a couple people being like, blah. You know,
yeah.
Like, wah, wah. I've heard yeah. that one before.
Yeah, but try living it. Try actually living it with authenticity and integrity. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
your life will change in ways you could not imagine. I've had experiences happen to me that we haven't got time to share. I mean, we've got 2 minutes left.
Yeah.
I've had so many experiences happen to me that would blow your mind.
Oh, I agree. And in this past year, I have been living in that place of constant trust, and it has been one of the most amazing and sometimes the most difficult years of my life, but I wouldn't trade it. It's been, because I've had magic happen. I mean, serious. I can't explain it. I could not. I couldn't make this stuff up if I tried.
No, I know that feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's happening.
I do know of some people who do make it up. Well, it doesn't work. You will get caught out.
It has to be authentic. Yeah.
You have to be authentic. That's how you trust the process. That's how you trust yourself. Be authentic. It is the pathway to what you desire.
So to sum it up, love yourself. Give yourself that self-love and be authentic about it. So it's not about the end result. It's about doing the work, doing the love.
But it's not about doing the work. It's living with love.
There you go.
It's live with love and watch the magic in every moment manifest.
Mm.
And you will see so many magical moments manifest. Your mind will not comprehend what could happen to your life or what is happening. And it will be just the most incredible experiences ever.
That's a lovely note
Thank
to
you,
end
ladies.
It on.
Thank you,
I would
Jessica.
Love to.
Thank you, Therese.
Yes, I would love to add my 2 cents, but I don't have time. So this is the Divine It Girl Radio Show. I'm your host, Jessica Nevins. Have a beautiful week. Love and sparkles to all. Bye.
Bye.